the kindness of the Lord. I mean, do we have to have God himself say that? Are we so dumb that we can't figure that out? That what you eat is not going to defile you, but what you think will. Because from those thoughts come actions. There's a beautiful passage in James about that. And so, see, even after he said all that, they got home and said, what did you mean by all that? And he says, are you also without understanding? I mean, it's pretty simple, isn't it? You know, what will defile you is what's in your heart, not what's in your stomach. Pretty simple. Now, in the first reading, today we got a little time. We're in Genesis 2. I'm sure that you realize there are two sources, two accounts of creation that have been juxtaposed here. Just like two notes of music juxtaposed, make a harmony. And so these two accounts make a harmony. This, the first one, those scholarly mystics, you know, the whole panorama of creation made into a liturgy. And it ends with Shabbat. It's beautiful. The appreciation of God's beauty, of his generosity. Why did he create it all? And then the care. In this text, we have another mystic. He's a poet. And his concentration is on two things. One, man and woman, whose theology has already been adumbrated in chapter 1. Adam, male and female, he made them. Let us make Adam in our image and likeness. And let them rule. And them. Adam, mankind. But also man and woman. And so God made Adam in his image. Male and female, he made them. So, and then this splendor. This text is all about the role of man, human beings, in creation. I say all that because these things, they're not here to stir up our interest in antiquity. They're here to teach us about the very structure of reality. At the time when the Lord God made the heavens and the earth, while as yet there was no field shrub on earth, no grass of the field had sprouted, there's no life. Why not? Two reasons. The Lord God had sent no rain upon the earth. That rain is a gift. You can't make it rain. Even when we got these things and your planes fly and they dump the dry ice in the clouds and get a little bit. But rain is a gift. It's one of the images of grace. It comes down, it permeates the soil, and it lets the soil give light. Grace comes down, takes root in our life, and we live a life that's beautiful. And so, there's no rain, and then ain Adam. There's no man to till the soil. You need work. Work in God, but work. No man to till the soil. The word here for till, if I remember, is la'avod. It's like our word culture, cult, liturgy. Avodah is liturgy. And la'avod is to work. Like cultus cultivare. Like that. And so there was a stream welling up out of the earth, you see, and watering all the surface of the ground. Now, the Lord God formed man out of the clay of the ground. Adam min adamah, because the word for soil is Adama. And Adam, he comes, mean Adama. He comes from our earth. You see, our origins are very earthly. But our destiny is eternal beauty in the spirit. Well, how can earth, dirt, clay receive the life of God? God gives it. The Lord God formed man out of the clay of the ground and blew into his nostrils the breath of life, the neshama of God. So we breathe like God. Our breath is from God. And man became a soul alive, nefesh chaya, a living being, a soul alive. All the generosity of God. Think of it. Think of it. You know, the tenderness, the love of God. First, that he would make anything. Doesn't add anything to him. He wants to share his being, his joy, his existence, his love. And for these poor little things that come out of the dirt, his very divine life. So he breathes into them his own life. The next time we're going to see that is in John 20, right? Where Jesus breathes into the apostles and gives them the power to forgive sins. You see? Now, oh, that's got a couple more minutes. You see, every line of this is a beauty. The Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and he placed there the man whom he had formed. Now remember, we're Jews. Believe it or not, we're all Semites, you see. So, he made this land. He promised it to Abraham. He took the Jews out of Egypt and planted them in the land. And, you see, out of the ground, he made various trees grow that were delightful to look at and good for food, with the tree of life in the middle of the garden and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And now, God raises us up. Up to now, we've just been receiving, doing our thing. Now, he gives us a command. It's a command out of love. Don't eat of that tree. Why? Because I told you not to. Isn't that enough? Can't you trust me? Well, no, we don't. That's why we have confession. We don't. And all sin comes from that desire to take control. To know good and evil means to do what you want and you declare whether it's good or evil. Classic example is abortion. I remember a friend of mine came back from Caracas. Oh, I'm going back 30, 35 years now. And he said, you know, all these middle-class housewives, there's nothing on their mind. They're talking about abortion. There's no law for or against down there. They just... And as he said that, it just came to me. You will do what you want, and you will declare whether it's good or evil. We want that power. Why? Then we don't have to trust anybody. God said, look, I made you. I put you in this garden. I made all these trees. Can you think of God? Now, what would they like? You know, they like trees. They can have the fruit of these trees. What would they like? You know, water. See, God, thinking. That's the beauty of this poetic text. By the way, if you've ever read Theology of the Body, you know that John Paul II kind of skips over the first text and goes to this one because it's poetry. And it's full of, you see? So he gave him this order, this command, mitzvah. Don't touch that. You see? Trust me. That raises the whole level of the relationship. It's not thanks a lot, God, because you breathed into me and now I breathe it. It's I trust you. Love the whole other level of a relationship. We call it supernatural, but it's, you see, that the role of the command is not to restrict man. It's to give him the occasion to trust God. And we're always trying to find tricky ways around it, you know, except for the saints. And so you see, we have here what? And you have to read all these texts. They're multi-levels. That's Adam. But that's the people. He takes them out of Egypt. He brings them into his land. And he makes a covenant with them. And they don't keep it. So he blots them out. No, he doesn't. He punishes them. But from them still comes the Messiah. The saints, Simeon, Anna, Mary, thousands we don't know about. And finally, Israel, through Mary, gives the world its Savior. Dust from the earth.